Shalom, brethren. Shalom, shalom. Today is Friday, the 12th of January, 2024, on the Roman Gregorian calendar as per Daniel 7:25, and on the Hebrew calendar as per Exodus 12:1-2, Genesis chapter 1, Leviticus 23, and various other scriptures, holy scriptures. Today is Shevatu, the day after Rosh Kodesh, the head of the month, new moon festival, and first fruits, as per Numbers 28:11-15, Leviticus 23, and various other holy scriptures. This is Sister Perpetua, Miriam Or Shulamit George, and with today's preparation day for Shabbat Vayera, which means an eye appeared, Exodus chapter 6 verse 2 to chapter 9 verse 35. There is also the prophet. There's a prophet section that is attached to this Torah portion, and there is also there's a prophet section and the gospel section. So let me try and find them. Please forgive me, brethren. Bear with me. Okay, I'm struggling to find it, and I need to keep going because the baby's waking up and she's going to start demanding for attention. But I know that I shared that last week. And I know that the prophet section is Ezekiel chapter 28 to 29. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So Vayera, I was talking about Vayera earlier on, and I was talking about the four cups of redemption that we talk about, that we mentioned during the Passover Seder. So the first cup is the cup of sanctification, in which the Lord says to us in Exodus, actually chapter 6, not 7, chapter 6, verse 6 to 7, we see the Lord telling us, I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Hallelujah. So the first cup we drink, the first cup of wine we drink is the cup of sanctification. So by the Lord bringing us out from under the burdens of the Egyptians or the Mizraim, He is sanctifying us. He is setting us apart. He is making us holy. Remember 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Holy means sanctification. Hallelujah. The second cup is the cup of deliverance. So the Lord says to us in Exodus chapter 6 that I will rescue you from their bondage. Hallelujah. So rescue and bringing us out are two different things. Hallelujah. So yes, He will bring us out and He will deliver us. He will rescue us. So the cup of sanctification, the cup of deliverance. Then the third cup is the cup of redemption. Hallelujah. The cup of redemption. I will redeem you with an outstretched hand. Hallelujah. And then the cup of praise. I will take you as my people. Hallelujah. The cup of praise is the final cup, the cup that we drink last after we have eaten our meal at the Passover Seder, and we have welcomed Elijah or Eliyahu, and also we've got the children to locate the hidden matzah, which I've forgotten the name of. The other, because we break one of the matzahs into half, for the unleavened bread into half. And we hide one, we share the other. So after all that, we drink the cup of praise. Hallelujah. And remember that there's also meant to be the cup of Elijah on the table. Can we use that to welcome Elijah? We also set apart a special seat for him. Because Eliyahu is a very special person that we have to honor. He always comes before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, or Yahushua HaMashiach on earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And remember that your Passover speaks of redemption. So Jesus comes and redeems us during Passover. Jesus Christ was crucified, and around that, well, maybe sometime before that, John the Baptist got killed. So anyhow, yeah, when the Lord is speaking to Moshe about going to appear before Pharaoh, he speaks of the four cups, four expressions of redemption, the four cups of redemption. So employing the four expressions of redemption, take out the children of Israel from Egypt, deliver them from enslavement, redeem them and acquire them as his own chosen people at Mount Sinai. He will bring them to the land he promised to the patriarchs as their heritage. Moses and Aharon repeatedly come before Pharaoh to demand in the name of Yah, let my people go. Lekora mashanda. Let my people go. Lendorobo kora bashanda. Let my people go. Mandorobo kora bashanda. Let my people go. Lindorobori kamashanda. Let my people go. Ribosoto reke yabo sori bashanda. Let my people go. Rekosi yabashanda. Let my people go. Rikare bosie bashanda. Let my people go, so that they may serve me in the wilderness. Pharaoh repeatedly refuses. Aharon's staff turns into a snake and swallows the magic tricks of the Egyptian sorcerers. Yah then sends a series of plagues upon the Egyptians. These plagues were split into three. Three were assigned to Aharon to release, three were assigned to Moshe to release, and the other three were sent by the Lord Yahweh, God the Father himself, also known as Yahweh. And then Moshe and Aharon, I've already read that. And then the waters of the Nile turned to blood. Swarms of frogs overran the land. Lice infest all men and beasts. Hordes of wild animals invade the cities. A pestilence kills the domestic animals. Painful boils afflict the Egyptians. For the seventh plague, fire and ice combine to descend from the skies as a devastating hail. Still, the heart of Pharaoh was turned, and he would not let the children of Israel go, as Yah, or God, had said to Moshe, or Moses. So this is everything that happens in between chapter 6 and chapter 9 in a summary. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise Yah. Praise Yah. Hallelujah. So we need to understand, as I said in the first audio, that the... Oh, no, I didn't say it. Maybe I said it in a different audio to someone else, that when Moshe and Aharon were going into the Pharaoh's palace, it wasn't easy as we think. There was a bit of a battle. In fact, they were not able to see him on the first day. They ended up having to come back the next day because the Pharaoh was so evil. He had put all kinds of hindrances between him and the outside place where you come in to see him. There were dogs, there were lions, and I don't remember what else. So if you didn't have the Lord in you, if you didn't have the Holy Spirit in you, it wasn't easy to approach Pharaoh. I also learned through somebody that the Egyptians were so wicked. They actually practiced homosexuality, and they would push people to practice homosexuality before appearing before Pharaoh. But the Lord did not allow that for Moshe. In fact, the next day when Moshe was still, or the guard was still talking nonsense, the angel of the Lord came and made the lions to be gentle, to, you know, to see Moses as a friend, Moses and Aaron as a friend, Moshe and Aaron as friends. The doves also were sent away, and the other hindrances were removed. And when Moshe and Aaron entered the palace, or the area where Pharaoh sat, the glory of the Lord radiated through them mightily. In fact, it entered the whole room, and everybody got off their seat and bowed before Moshe, especially the people that were working for the Pharaoh, the, you know, the various, what do they call them, secretaries, though, that take notes in different languages, were there, the advisors, the magicians, they were there. They all got up and bowed before Moshe and Aaron. They had no choice, because the presence of the Lord went with Moshe and Aaron. It preceded them, and it was all around them. It was in them as well. Hallelujah. And every word that Moshe spoke had the favor of the Lord upon it, though, of course, the Lord led Pharaoh to harden his heart towards his word. The Lord caused Pharaoh to strengthen his resolve against the will of the Lord. Now, I've forgotten the other details. I need to go back and read. And I don't know if I'll be able to record another audio after this, but I'll just share with you some other insights that the Lord has made me understand regarding this. I have learned that these plagues attacked Israel. No. Forgive me, attacked Egypt from around the month of Heshvan, the month of judgment, the month in which the flood began, the Noah's flood, the Mabul began. These plagues began to attack Egypt around that period of time, Heshvan, and they stopped in the month of Nisan when the firstborn died. So I don't know how many months is that, approximately 6 months from Heshvan, the eighth month of the year, when counting from Nisan, as per Exodus chapter 12, verse 1 to 2, but when you're counting from, you know, as per Genesis, sorry, counting from Tishri, obviously it's the second month of the year. So from Heshvan to Nisan is about 6 months. So that is how long the plagues lasted. And by that time, Moshe was 80 years old. Remember that Moshe was king and prophet over Israel for 40 years. So they left Egypt or Mizraim in the month of Nisan. Hallelujah. On Nisan 15. The day after the first day of the Pesach Seder, the Passover Seder, the extended Holy Communion service. Hallelujah. So it's a Holy Communion service, but it's much longer than the usual that we do on Shabbat and other days. Hallelujah. Because it's, you know, it's in honor of the Passover sacrifice that the Lord Yahweh, also known as Yahweh and Yahushua HaMashiach, also known as Jesus Christ, paid for us to be freed from spiritual death, to be freed from hell, to be freed from the hold of the kingdom of darkness, from the hold of the devil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, these pestilences, the Lord has revealed that they are all going to come back in these end times. We are going to see them on the earth when the, you know, some of them have already started. I mean, over the years, we've seen locusts, we've seen things, I mean, water bodies turn to blood. Well, we've not properly seen wild animals attacking people, but we have seen them come out of the bushes and into the cities, which has bewildered many people. We've seen various pestilences. You know, this could include COVID-19 and other pestilences that are attacking us. Psalm 91. We've seen boils. There was one that stood out that the Lord highlighted that people hadn't paid attention to, but now I have forgotten what it is. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we've seen hail. We see hail. We see fire and ice as well. So all these things are, we've seen some of them. The only thing we haven't yet seen is the 3 days of darkness, the death of the firstborn, or maybe we do, anyway, we see people being sacrificed on a daily basis, but that is not something that is, you know, those people are being killed for evil purposes. It's not that the Lord is the one reaching out to kill them in honor of Passover. So many of these plagues are going to occur again. They are going to reoccur in these end times we are in, on a much higher level, to punish those people that the Lord has, you know, spoken of, that their names were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life from before the foundations of the earth, which means they chose to be on the devil's side when the devil rebelled against the Lord and caused the third of angels to fall from heaven. Also, mankind fell. There are mankind that chose the devil's side because the devil's lies were so attractive and, you know, convincing. So unfortunately, they chose to be on the devil's side. So those people are going to be attacked with all kinds of plagues on earth, because the Lord says that those plagues will not come anywhere near us who are holy unto the Lord. Some of the plagues are going to happen before the holy catching away or rapture to the heavens. Others will happen after that. And that leads me to talk about the alien invasion. The alien invasion that is happening in America right now. America saw too many alien incidents last year, and every time they saw them, the media, the mass media, keeps covering up the truth. They come up with stupid excuses as if they're speaking to children. I mean, for example, the one that happened on the 1st of January 2024, of the 10-foot aliens, about 7 of 10 of them walking over in the shopping mall in Miami and on the streets of Miami. How can they say that there were children fighting or youths fighting and then pretended to arrest some boys, yet you could see that about 100 police cars made their appearance on the streets of Miami that day? Why would 100 police cars come to settle a fight between teenagers? That is just not right. So the commotion that happened on the 1st of January is something I didn't even know about until this morning. Interestingly, I've been seeing the picture come up on my phone every now and again, but I've been really busy. I just haven't been able to pay attention until this morning when the Lord, you know, made me pay more attention to, you know, what happened that day. Now, the scriptures say that men's hearts will fail them because of what is to come. The Lord has also made it clear that the devil and his angels have, you know, they engaged in a battle in the heavens and they were cast down in the beginning. They were cast down onto the earth, but that battle is also still, has started ongoing all over again since the time of the Holy Rapture. Especially since the time, when Archangel Gabriel blew the shofar horn in 1999 or 1998. When he blew that shofar horn, the sound waves were released to the earth, but only few people picked up on them. So right now they are blocked out by the enemy, because the enemy started a battle that time to block out the sound waves from reaching the earth. But the time is going to come and everyone will, those that need to hear it especially, will hear the sound waves and they'll be able to be caught up into the air. Now, when that happened, a battle in the heavens, when, you know, Gabriel blew the shofar horn, a battle in the heavens began, a much more fierce battle. And that is recorded in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9 to 10. Remember, there are layers of interpretation of the Holy Scriptures. So Revelation 9 to 10 has already happened before, but it's also going to happen all over again once the time for Barack Hussein Obama, the anti-Messiah, also known as the Antichrist, son of perdition, once his time to rule the earth is nearly here, which is, well, the Lord will release those aliens or those fallen angels onto the earth during the time of the 3 days of darkness. Revelation chapter 6 verse 13 talks about the fig trees. They will fall down from the sky like fig trees, as fig trees fall off a tree. And I didn't understand that scripture when the Lord showed it to me in a dream, when I saw the scripture written on Obama's forehead. I wondered what the Lord meant, to the point that I ended up going to Revelation 13:6, because I thought the Lord had made a mistake. This was in 2021. But I eventually understood the scripture. Then I read it over and over again while asking the Lord to help me understand it. And he made me understand that it's linked to what's going to happen during the 3 days of darkness. So Revelation 6:13, King James Version says, "And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind." So the stars of the heaven fell. Stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. So, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. So the Lord here is telling us that the stars in heaven, of heaven, are the fallen angels that have made their abode in the first and the second heavens. Remember that in Revelation chapter 1, Yahushua HaMashiach, also known as Jesus Christ, lets us know that angels angels are represented as stars. So the Lord said he's going to shake them out of the first and the second heavens, and they will fall onto the earth. And when they do, they'll begin to walk the earth in a demonic form that they normally appear in hell, but we don't normally see in the physical form, but we will see in the physical form that time. So what the people in Miami, so those who witnessed this alien, most, you know, all the testimonies you hear is they were paralyzed with fear. These aliens are just standing there staring at them. They look harmless. But obviously they are not harmless. But for now, they have to come as harmless. They have to come as friends of mankind, because they need to gain access to mankind. The Pope is going to introduce them as our friends. And the Obama, Barack Hussein Obama, is also going to introduce them as our friends. And I think Prince William also will introduce them as our friends. But we shouldn't fall for the lie of the enemy concerning that, because we cannot be friends with the kingdom of darkness, for darkness and light have nothing in common. So we shouldn't be afraid. We need to remember the scripture that speaks of boldness and courageousness. Joshua chapter 1 verse 6 to 8, it says, "Be bold, be strong, be courageous, fear not," you know, because they capitalize on fear. They love fear. They feed on fear. When we show fear of them, we cannot overcome them, because then they make us to do what they want us to do. So we need to begin to build up ourselves, wear the armor of the Lord, build up ourselves in the word of the Lord, have a strong faith in the Lord, be ready to fight against them, remembering that there's a coming war against the demons in physical form that is even greater than World War III. It is far bigger than World War III. We need to understand this and begin to strengthen ourselves. And this is why Uganda has been called to pioneer the end time revival, Acts chapter 2, part 2. Okay, I need to stop here. I'm not able to do another audio for now, but remain blessed. Have a lovely Shabbat. Shalom.